Now, this rich young man that we've read about in this story had clearly been successful at all that he'd tried, or else he was born into privilege. Because we're told that he was very wealthy. And in fact, in Luke's gospel, he's described as being a ruler. Clearly, he'd conquered many domains in life. And so now he wanted to conquer the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. This is a sort of kind of question, if I can be triumphant in all of this, I can also be triumphant for God. He seemed to really think that it was in his power to do this, if only he had the right formula. And this is shown in his question to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Give me the clue, give me the key, give me the formula. And I find the beginning of Jesus' answer to him fascinating. And it's a clue as to what he's really doing here, where he says, no one is good except God alone. Let's take a moment to let that settle. No one is good except God alone. And that gives us an interpretive principle, a lens through which to read the rest of the interaction. Jesus went on to explain the requirements of the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. And in his response to Jesus, this young man truly seemed to believe the answer that he gave. But his answer shows the superficial level at which he'd understood the commandments, saying blithely that he'd done all of this from a young age. And Jesus' next words to him are a classic example of wisdom teaching, recognizing where this young man was stuck and revealing it to him in quite devastating starkness. But the key is in Jesus' attitude, where we're told Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then Jesus said to him, one thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Jesus was showing him where his heart truly lay, what it was that was weighing him down. And there's another illustration of this that is challengingly captured in a story told by Thich Nhat Hanh, which I haven't told for many years because it doesn't tend to be received too well. The story goes like this. One day, the Buddha was sitting in the wood with 30 or 40 monks. They had an excellent lunch, and they were enjoying the company of each other. There was a farmer passing by, and the farmer was very unhappy. He asked the Buddha and the monks whether they had seen his cows passing by. The Buddha said they had not seen any cows passing by. The farmer said, "Monks, I'm so unhappy. I have 12 cows and I don't know why they all ran away. I have also a few acres of a sesame seed plantation and the insects have eaten up everything. I suffer so much, I think I'm going to kill myself." The Buddha said, "My friend, we have not seen any cows passing by here. You might like to look for them in another direction." So the farmer thanked him and ran away. And the Buddha turned to his monks and said, "My dear friends, you are the happiest people in the world. You don't have any cows to lose. If you have too many cows to take care of, you will be very busy. That is why, in order to be happy, you have to learn the art of cow releasing. You release the cows one by one. In the beginning, you thought that those cows were essential to your happiness, and you tried to get more and more cows. But now you realize that cows are not really conditions for your happiness. They constitute an obstacle for your happiness. That is why you are determined to release your cows. Fantastic story. And it illustrates how the things we thought were so important to us for bringing us happiness, it could be our reputation, security, health, wealth, or wherever we place our sense of value, the things that our lives are oriented towards. These can become cumbersome and heavy. And so these are the things that we are invited to let go of, not in an ascetic or rejecting kind of way, but in a light releasing of what brings us so much suffering and heaviness. Back to the story of the rich young man, I truly don't believe that this is where the story ended. This young man had much to ponder, and this moment of recognition could have been the key to unlocking his blindness about what his life was truly orienting around. And this is a question to us during this season. What are your cows that bring you so much unhappiness? Where is your treasure? What is your life orienting around? Where do you invest your time and energy? What occupies most of your thinking? What are you unable to let go of? As we let these questions sink in, and I'll put them in the text below this video so that you can spend some time reflecting on these and maybe journaling around your responses. But watch for that part of yourself that either turns on you in accusation, that's a very strong tendency of ours, or that feels paralyzed or fearful, wanting to hop back to a superficial level of engagement or a mechanistic problem-solving mentality. But rather go a bit deeper with your responses. Feel into any inner responses that these questions might have evoked in you. Are you feeling some kind of disturbance, dread, resistance, escape fantasies? For some of us, there's the tendency to intellectualize so that we avoid this discomfort that is brought about by these kinds of questions. But simply listen to what is stirring within you. Allow this to hold a mirror up for you of the places where you have invested your heart. The places of grasping or stuckness. Allow yourself to hear what is being evoked. Now, the temptation is to be like this rich young man, wanting to triumph or to solve the problem of entering the kingdom. And what Jesus showed him instead was the truth of his powerlessness to conquer his own inner world with its grasping and clinging to his attachments, which for him was his extreme wealth. Until we come to this realization of our own powerlessness to conquer our inner world, our inner struggles, we will keep swinging between heroic determination, dread, resistance, despair, and ultimately turning away from the vibrant heat of this kind of question. Like all wisdom insights, this question is intended to crack that outer shell of the self that still believes it can solve its own problems. And these cracks are vital if we are to discover the deeper freedom and truth of awakening to the kingdom of God. In Leonard Cohen's words, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And into that crack of despair, dread, and failure pours the light of hope that can only come from beyond the small self, from the source of life and truth. In the recognition of where we've been investing our treasure, and in the stark realization of how terrified we feel at the thought of letting go of these places of false refuge, and how impotent we are to realign ourselves or fix our focus. In that recognition, we have the opportunity to open to true hope, to surrender to the vast resources that are at our disposal when we allow the cracks to break us open to the larger life of God, of the Spirit, allowing this vitality to pour into us and through us, precisely through these cracks. And here we come back to the words that Jesus started with in his response to the young man, "No one is good except God alone." This is an invitation to surrender into the goodness of God, releasing our grasp not only on our attachments, the things that we treasure and that weigh us down, but also releasing our attempts to fix our grasping insecure selves, releasing our belief that we can conquer the problems of ourselves, and falling into the grace and goodness of God. And this is what we do over and over in our times of quiet prayer, and also in our times, as Pope Francis describes it, of childlike dialogue with the Father, surrendering all of our own attempts to achieve anything and open to the transforming power of the loving presence and goodness of God. As Jesus said at the end of his interchange with the disciples after this episode with the young man, "With people this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." That's what we surrender into. Now, hand in hand with this, as Pope Francis says, is the choice to give our loving care, our charity to others, especially to those less fortunate than ourselves. The goodness of God's heart is always an outpouring, flowing goodness. As we choose to offer open-handed, open-hearted generosity and care, we begin to attune to and flow with this outpouring abundance of the heart of God. Here, the invitation of this story of the rich young man is not just to give what we don't need, what we won't miss. That's our tendency. But to allow our giving to be an act of participation in becoming freed from what weighs us down, an act of gently letting go of our attachments, our cows, one by one, reorienting the places that we've invested our hearts in. In this way, we place our treasure in heaven, as Jesus describes it, by allowing our hearts to be freed from what weighs us down, and to flow in rhythm with the beautiful, outpouring, ever-flowing love of the heart of God. May this be so in our lives, in this time. Amen.